First Thessalonians 5. Verse 5. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. They use two different words there, one for night and one for darkness. And night is nyx, N-Y-X, but darkness is skotos. And night just means night, without the sun, without the meaning of the sun. But skotos means belonging to the darkness. We are not of the night, nor do we belong to the darkness. Now, all of these things, everything that we read in this kind of an arena, if you look at it from the standpoint of that night of the last day began at the cross, when the sun was darkened, then we've all these scriptures, the night is far spent, the day is at hand, we are not of the night, nor do we belong to the darkness. Take heed as to the light shining in a dark place until the day dawn, until the day star arise in your heart. The night has come when no man can work. And these are piling up more and more evidence of this mystery that mankind, every invention, every idea, every plan that man has had since the cross has been an attempt to flee the revelation of Christ. And if you see the scriptures, they declare that, because the law, all the law and the prophets prophesied until John. Jesus said, all the law and all the writings and all the prophets testify only of me. And so everything was finished at the cross, at the resurrection, actually. And so is it possible for you to believe that the human race has been just wasting their time doing nothing for 2,000 years? That no invention, no light, or everything, automobiles, planes, cars, submarines, weapons, they're all meaningless in the mystery of God. There's neither bond nor free, Jew or Greek, old or young, black or white, male or female. We are of the light. And for us, the light has come. The day has dawned. And if you can see that, you can be free. Instead of muddling around in the darkness, dealing with all kinds of issues. And you think, well, this is how we do this, and we'll fix this way, and then we can take this, and then we can do that. Or I'm dealing with this problem, and I'm dealing with this sin in my life, or whatever it is. Okay, this is what I do or what I don't do. You can't get rid of darkness by analyzing it. You only get rid of darkness by the light. And He is that light. He is that presence. He is our first love. Why did I go on this rant this morning?
Something you said really hit me there at the first thing. We've always said it, at the cross it was finished, and you said that it was actually finished at the resurrection. And that's a big deal.
Well, but it's finished for 2,000 years, is my point. Why do you think that's such a big deal?
I don't know. It's just like when you say it's finished at the cross, it's different than saying it's finished at the resurrection. I don't know.
Well, it's not different because everything that man can do was finished at the cross. Everything that happened afterward, it was only by the issue of God. There was nothing that Jesus did. He emptied himself, even down into the temptation of three nights God sent the Holy Spirit on the Feast of Pentecost. So from man's standpoint, everything was finished at the cross.
Yeah, that doesn't change, but I guess it's is that to say that's the beginning of the bride?
No, the beginning of the bride was Abel.
But that's tied to the resurrection too, is it?
Again, all men die at the same instant. And Abel was a prophet, is what the scriptures say. He prophesied by his blood. It's a this to be not of the night, not of the night, nor belonging to darkness. It's a new thing. Just wipes out everything that we think is important except God. You're
well, I'm not in an argument here with you.
I'm fine.
It's there's just something pristine about the resurrection because that's of God. And that's the hope, the joy, the everything that God is doing.
Has done.
Whatever we're experiencing as it unfolds, no?
Yeah, but it already was, has been. The gospel was preached to every creature under heaven.
Right, but for our perception, it is being revealed day by day and point by point, scripture by scripture. It's, we're being shown what is completed. And
I understand, Gary, but I want to just say this one thing. I'd like you, to go back and listen to the tapes from 25 years ago. I'm saying exactly the same thing. So the only thing that's keeping us from the fullness of the mystery is our own rebellion. Something isn't gelling for that with you. All righty. Let's contrast the believers in light and the world in darkness. Okay. Let's put a coda on this or an emphasis. Go to John 9 again. There's no place such as John 9 again, but it's John 9. The whole of the eighth chapter that leads up to 9 is where Jesus is talking to the believers, the Jews that believed on him, right? And that's where he said, you were of your father, the devil. Even though he didn't have a word, he didn't try to make converts, did he? Let's start in there, verse 8:44. John 8:44. You are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. That's all you're capable of willing to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh, it's a lie, for he speaketh from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. And which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. That's a terrible thing to tell of people that believed on him. Then answered the Jews. Now they're furious. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Well, actually, it's Samaritan is a wrong translation. It's, are you not a child of Samael, the chief of demons, and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. And I speak not of mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. I seek not my own glory, for there is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? And Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And then the Jews said unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and thou hast seen Abraham? And Jesus answered unto them, Verily I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Now that's just an incredible series of statements by Jesus. But he's saying them to us as well as he's saying them to them. And that's what you have to see. He's saying them to your mind. See, the thing that makes you you, your you-ness, if you believe. And as Jesus, now this, again, this isn't chapters and verses. This is one document, or series of parchments. And so there's no chapter or verse. It's just this continuing. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Before Abraham was, I am. That kind of destroys time. Before Abel was, I am. Before Adam and Eve were, was, I am. Not I am going to be or I was, I am. Because he's speaking from the standpoint of eternity. I am. No modifiers. Amen? All right. Now we're going to contrast stuff here. So let's go first see darkness. Go Matthew 4, just chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4.
I just thinking about when he's speaking to these Jews, we always looked and judged it, oh, them darn Jews. We thought they knew God because they had the temple and all the sacrifices in their history. But it is very personal because we have all our experiences in our history, but the same words ring in my ears.
Amen. Two places. This is where he's quoting, excuse me, Isaiah.
Matthew.
Starting verse 12. This verse 12 is the beginning of Christ being Christ. Up until this point, he was tested and tempted by he was baptized. He went through all of that, went through the wilderness. Now he begins doing he begins being him and for others. What? verse 12. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people here which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, this light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. That's what at hand means. The kingdom of heaven is here, now. All right? Oh, man, I wish I could. We never have enough time. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. No, let's contrast that, the ones that sat in darkness. Go to Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. I'm sorry. But on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light shine, so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So let your light shine as opposed to sitting in darkness. Let's go to 1 Peter. Chapter 2. The fruit of the Spirit. The only thing that's good is that which comes from Him. All right. Okay, I'm in second here. No wonder it didn't make any sense. Verse 9, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation or holy people, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of Him who hath called you out of darkness into this marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Remember what we've said so often about the word peculiar. We are peculiar people. It's a strange word. It's the feminine of the verb form I am. So what it says is we are the I am people. There can be no modifiers. We're not young or old, Christians or not Christians. We're not Americans or Jews or Israelis. We're not Arabs, we're not Muslims. There can be no modifier. We are the I am, the feminine of the I am. Can you capture that a minute? And it goes on completely further. You can't be I am or I need or I am hungry, I am. It's always you're the I am. And if that's the I am as the centered point of your being, then whatsoever you ask shall be done for you by His Father, because you're one with. You're the I am. I am. Before Jesus was, I am. Now we are the I am people. Don't get seduced away from that by I am this or I am that or I give importance to this or I give importance to that. We are the I am people. Does everybody see that a little bit? See how that sort of cuts you in half or cuts... What?
Well, I'm thinking the same thing. It's all about an abandonment is the only place I am can exist. The minute you pick up any of self, no longer I am, it's me too or something.
Yeah. That's what Copeland says.
Is that what he said?
He said, instead of Jesus, I am, and my response is me too. I don't feel good. Can we quit? Let's quit. I'm really hurting. Take it, big guy.